Frank and Suzanne have been with us over a year. Probably over a year. They come carrying, it just came to my head and I wrote it down. They come carrying a huge amount of God's riches and they're bringing them to us. And so I just want to commend Suzanne and Frank to you. Suzanne is going to be teaching the 7-week prayer course, which hopefully also is kind of in there in the back of your mind. So that starts a week on Monday. But Suzanne is doing a bit of an introduction to herself and to her love, which is intercession. Thank yes, you. Today. So, Suzanne.
Thank you. Bless you. Well, hi. Frank, can I have my other glasses because I can't see people's faces? It's really sad, this thing to do with sight. It's an alternative. I can see either my notes or you. And there we go. If I stand here. Is that all right? It's not that I like being on a platform, but it gives me... I'm far enough away from my notes to be able to see them. And I can still see you. When people say they're going to speak about prayer, take them off anyway, there'll be lots of reactions in here. There will be those that go, yay! And there'll be those that go, oh. And that comes for all sorts of reasons. And it comes because of our experiences with God, it comes out of our experiences in prayer meetings, it comes out of a history. And I just want to say to you, I think we all go through times when prayer is tough. We all go through times when it's dry. But actually, at its most basic, prayer is our communication with God. And we serve the most amazing God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Creator. He is the Father. And so often, you know, our perspective of God is so small that when we try to communicate with Him, you know, somehow that it doesn't work and it becomes dry. And so before we do anything else, and tough times can make prayer difficult, and that's true as well. So before we do anything else, I just wondered if I could just pray and just ask the Lord that He would just lift off, you know, anything negative that's gone before. I have to say that I've been in some, I'm sure you don't have them here, but some prayer meetings where in the past I would have said, well, let's not go again. You know, that's a reality. So, as I say, can I just pray? Father, I want to thank You for everything that You are, everything that You're doing. I want to thank You, Lord, for the journeys that each one of us has been on to come to this place today and this time in Marlow, and, Lord, all that You have for us in the future. And, Lord, right now I want to ask You by Your Spirit that You just lift off just anything, Lord, that would hinder our walk with You. Lord, that would hinder us being able to speak to You. And Lord, I just ask You that You would put such a freshness of Your Spirit on each one of us, Lord, as we come into Your presence in the days ahead. Amen. I was asking the Lord yesterday about what to share when I came today. I had the privilege, I wanted to thank Dave actually and the leadership for trusting me, since you don't really know me very well. And I had the privilege last week of sharing about the prayer school at Maidenhead. So I want to cover the same sort of basic points. But I was asking the Lord if there was anything, you know, specific for here. And I feel like this year, as it is in for many people, but I felt like the Lord would say it's a year where there are going to be lots of windows of opportunity. And that's going to be for the church. But since the church is made up of individuals, there'll be windows of opportunity for individuals. And we've had an interesting time. We've been trying to sell my old car. And we put it on eBay over Christmas. And we received a really good offer. The problem was that it had timed out by the time that we saw the offer. So whatever, I don't really understand eBay terribly well. But anyway, the offer had been withdrawn because of time. Then last week we put it on again. And we had an offer, not quite so good as the first one, but we had an offer. And, well, we kept missing the guy when we were trying to arrange the time for him to come and collect it. And as I was walking yesterday, I just felt the Lord said, that's an example of a window of opportunity. And you have to grab a window of opportunity. And I don't know what that's going to look like for each one here. I know that I'm not always very good at seeing and going through windows. But I just, if we know these things sometimes in advance, it's helpful. Don't just look at a window and say, oh, wow, that's nice. You know, I could. Maybe. Maybe not. Because a window is exactly that. It's a window of time and it's a window from heaven. Now, is that all right, Dave? I'm sorry. That's okay to say. I think prayer is like lots of things in life. It goes in seasons. And we've already had seasons mentioned today. The world goes through seasons. And we are without any doubt in a different season in terms of what is happening in the world. And, you know, we all know that. We only have to turn on the television. The kingdom of God goes through seasons. And I think that part of that is that God comes and he puts the weight of what he's saying on a particular aspect of his word for a particular time. So if you look at church history, a lot of people here will probably know more than I do. You see how God highlighted certain aspects of the gospel to bring us all to the place that we're in now. So we saw, you know, right at the beginning, the whole thing about being saved by grace. Right up to the recent seasons where it's been about the Father's heart. And I believe that we're coming into a fresh season again. And it's almost as though God is going to gather up, which he does anyway, all those revelations and sort of put them together for the season that's ahead. And God's been speaking about intimacy. He's been speaking, amazing time of intimacy and atmosphere of the presence of God in here earlier. You know, and he's also been talking about revival. I believe that that is on God's heart, on his agenda for the church. I believe that that's potentially there. And I believe, too, that there are things to do with the world that he wants us as his church to wake up to say not just, oh, wow, what's happening out there, but to recognize that you and I, through prayer, have the power to do something about it. And what I love about prayer, and I'm sticking to that because that's obviously the focus, but what I love about prayer is its potential to touch the small and the personal things and the national and the international. And sometimes, you know, in life we go through seasons. And I know that when I was a mum with little children, they were my focus. That was my world. And then as time goes on, you get a different focus. But, you know, if you read the story of Hannah, and I've already lost my notes, so I'm sorry about this. But if you read the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel, she was barren. And she was brokenhearted by that. And that was her absolute focus at that time. But she came to the Lord, and it's very interesting because if you read 1 Samuel, it actually says that God had caused her to be unable to have children. It just wasn't one of those things. It was God. And she goes to the Lord and she keeps crying out for a child. And then there's a little point in time when she says, if you give me the child, a child, I will give him back to you. And it's like outside of just her own focus, there was suddenly she glimpsed in her spirit something bigger. And although in our lives we always have a personal focus, it's almost like, what are we picking up on the peripheral of our vision right now? What is God asking us to connect to that's bigger than our own world? And I just feel that he's moving his church into a completely different place. And I'm going to put my notes on. Sorry, my glasses on so I can read my notes. But I just think that God is going to shift each one of us, and he's going to give us opportunity. It might be a moment in prayer to just say, Lord, I just pray for that. I just speak into it. I release it. It might be a whole new doorway for life. But you and I need to be those who are alert to what he's doing at this time. And prayer connects us with his heart in the most amazing way. You know, I've been looking at the fact that God has been positioning us. As I talk about a new season, I think that for all of us and for the church in general, God has been positioning us for a new season. And the first thing that he really showed me was this whole thing about the Father and the Father's heart. He's been drawing us into incredible intimacy with him. Now, I looked up a very familiar scripture. I've gone into doing things in a different order, but sorry, bear with me. It's in one of the Gospels. It's John 16, but if you read it in the Amplified, it says, this is what I want you to do. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask in my name according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be like a river overflowing its banks. Now, that part seems a little familiar, but I love what the Amplified says after that. It says, this is Jesus, I've used figures of speech in telling you these things, but soon I will drop the figures and tell you about the Father in plain language. Then you'll make your requests directly to him in relation to the life I give you. And I just feel as though one of the preparations God's been putting in place has been this whole thing to do with the Father's heart. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 31 when the prophet is looking through to our season, to the new covenant, when what he says is, I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. And one of the things that stops us praying and stops us seeing answers is the fact that we don't know who we're praying to. We don't know his bigness. We don't recognize that actually nothing is impossible to him. That is the God that we serve. But that little word know is the same word as is used in Genesis about Adam knew Eve. It's incredible intimacy. And so often when we pray, I think God has had us all on a journey. Sorry, I don't like standing there, come down here. But we've all been on a journey. Well, those of us that have been Christians a long time, because prayer was something that was so often a discipline. We talked about the discipline of prayer. We talked about, you know, needing to spend time with God every day and all of those things. And I don't think there's anything wrong in that. In fact, I think it's powerful. But it's wrong if it puts upon us something that is actually just religious, that says, well, if you do this, then everything will work out and, you know, certain things will happen. And God's been lifting all of that off. He's been lifting off that sense that actually it's about how long do I spend in prayer. And what God is saying is, I want you to know me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my heart for me, for you as an individual. And I want you to know my heart for the world that you live in. And so he's been lifting off of us all sorts of things. But I think that it's almost as though some things are coming round circle again. Because any relationship, we love the fact that, you know, with real friends, we can just ring them up. We can go for a walk. We can have a chat. You know, I love with Susie, you know, we can just ring each other up and say, it's a bad day. You know, that's all there is to it. It's very light. But any good relationship needs one-to-one time. It needs that time when we are totally focused on each other. And so within that sort of freedom that God has been giving to us all, it's like there's this fresh call. God is saying, I want you to know me. And not only do I want you to know me, I want you to know my heart. And I want you to know what I'm doing, where I'm going, and all of those things right now. So we're going to talk a bit about intimacy. Really what I'm trying to do is just introduce where I'm going with the prayer school. One of sorry, some of you will have heard this, but one of the things that God said to me years ago, doesn't time go quickly? He downloaded to me something that I know that is very strong in River Church, and that's the power of blessing. And the way that he showed it to me was out of Numbers 6, where the priests speak blessing over the people. But what he showed me was just how blessing to me, and I'm not saying this is theologically 100%, but I think it's pretty on the ball, but this is how he showed it to me, was his power to his desire to turn back the results of the curse that came in the garden. And it started with one man. It started with Abraham. And then he spoke it over his family. It went through the family line, if you like. Then God gave it afresh. He gave it to the priests, and they spoke it over the nation of Israel. And so it went from one man to a large family to a nation. And then when you come into the New Testament, we stand in that place of blessing. When we come to know God, we inherit those blessings. And these are things that some of you will know, but it's just, sorry, because I've gone in a different order, my notes are out of place. But John 1:16, it says, for out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we, you and I, have all received and given a share and supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift upon gift. That is where we stand in God. Now, I know that my life doesn't always look like that. But that is truth. Now, what that does for me is it changes, number one, it changes my perspective. Because when I come to pray, I stand in that line that says God wants to release blessing to the world, my world, whatever that looks like, through me. I stand in that line of blessing. And that blessing that was over Israel, one man, family, nation, I believe becomes the kingdom of God that God wants to bring into the world. And so it goes so much larger, potentially, through us. And so the other thing that it does is it empowers me to say, I am blessed. That's what God has done for me. I don't need to worry about what I shall eat, what I shall wear, you know, all of that in Matthew. I don't need to worry about those things. Yeah, I may need to bring them to God, but I'm not trying to sort of, you know, put his arm up behind his back to make him do something for me. I don't need to focus on them, because actually I stand in the place where he wants to bless me, and it means that I can release blessing to others. So it positions me in a totally new place to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of others. So that was one of the things that I felt positioned us for the season ahead. Just on that note, just as a little testimony, I decided after this revelation to actually try out this prayer of blessing. Now, I don't want to be limited by just speaking blessing when I pray, and you know, in that general sense, I believe there's lots of aspects, but I just thought, okay, Lord, let's give this a go. And one of our sons, we have three boys, and boys are quite interesting. They really need to catch a vision of what they want to do, or they can be quite aimless, I've discovered. At least that's what we discovered. Sorry, guys. But we have a youngest son who is the youngest son, but he was a little bit in that category. And he was in what was quite a dead-end job. He dropped out of university because he wanted to get married. And, you know, he'd done the classics in it. As a parent, you look at it and you go, oh, Lord, you know. Anyway, he ended up in this dead-end job, and suddenly I knew God was putting him on my heart. And I'm quite cautious when I pray for my boys, because I know that I know what my desires are for them, and I quite often find it difficult to disconnect that from what God's ideas might be. So this prayer of blessing sounded a very good plan. So I started to really pray and speak blessing onto his life. Well, the first thing that happened was obviously he got made redundant. So I was like, okay, Lord, you know. But actually, that's not such a bad thing, because that job wasn't going anywhere. And by this time, he had 2.5 children, so being redundant was not a wonderful place. But I kept praying and just speaking blessing. And it was really amazing, because God took him, and through just a connection in the church that he attends in Crawley, a person in the congregation there just said, oh, well, look, you know, they're taking people on at our company, Talis, if anybody's heard of that. Thales, if you need, if you don't know how to pronounce it. It's a very big electronics company, very big in defense and all of that. And God just opened up this job for him. And what I found absolutely extraordinary was, number one, the fact he wasn't terribly well qualified didn't matter for various reasons. But number two, it put him in a slot of what I would call generational blessing. And Frank, at one time, my brother and my father have all been in military defense. And Stephen had absolutely no interest or desire to go down that line. And yet, through just praying blessing, God just took him out of somewhere, moved him across, and slotted him in to something totally different. And I thought, Father, that is the most amazing answer to prayer. God answers prayers. Now, I think sometimes we get very stuck when something doesn't get answered. And it grabs our focus, particularly if it's a need that's, you know, a personal need in one way or another. But Jesus said, pray, kingdom come. Pray, kingdom come. And what is a kingdom? Well, it is, well, it has a king. The kingdom normally carries the values of the king and the heart of the king. And if you go into Isaiah chapter 9, where you get the prophecy of the Messiah, the one we read so often at Christmas, it actually, if you look up the word there, that the government will be upon his shoulders, that word government, its root is in the word empire. And if you look at the kingdom, if you look at the Bible, it has something to say about every aspect of society. So if you think about it, it's got a healthcare system. No? Am I on my own here? So we can pray for healing. You know, it's got a financial system. It says, be generous, so. You know, it says something in... Are you with me? It says something in all of those arenas. And God is looking, I believe, at our world right now. And he's saying, church, I've got so much for you to do. But the pace to connect with my heart and to bring that kingdom down to earth is partly in that place of prayer. And it initiates and gets started normally in that place of prayer. And I just don't think right now that if there is a desire in your heart that says, Lord, I'm frustrated, there's something inside of me that feels bigger than you know, not the place I'm in, that's the wrong word, but feels bigger than my skin right now, for want of a better phrase. I just feel like God is saying, you know, this isn't a time when I'm limiting people. There isn't a time when I'm limiting people. There is the potential to grab hold of him in that place of intimacy where we shift our focus to his focus to release what's inside of us. And prayer, you know, it covers so, so much. And for each one of us, he will give us a focus. And for some of us, it is our street. And for some of us, it's something much larger than that. Or it's something that's to do with our family. It can be any sort of part of our world. But it's like God is saying, I want you to bring my kingdom into where I've placed you. And that isn't only about action. Because a window of opportunity isn't just to go outwards, it's to go upwards. And there's something in God and something he's releasing that somehow he wants us to come higher. Because he wants us to see things from his perspective, what he is doing. And the higher we somehow go and allow him to take us, the bigger picture we get. And sometimes we miss opportunities. I wonder, for those of us that are sort of our generation, And there's quite a good mix here, which, you know, but for those of us that are our generation, how many of us can look back and say, that was the most fantastic window, but I didn't see it? Anybody say that? I didn't see it. And one of the reasons that we didn't see it is because probably our focus was small, it was limited by our own thinking, it was limited by our perspective on what was happening around us, it was limited in all sorts of ways. But you see, if I allow God to pull me up, and I'll just speak that a little bit more in a minute, to pull me up higher, I begin to see his perspective. And then what seem to me to be limitations are washed away. And God is positioning us to just connect with him in that place of prayer and then in that place of going out. And one of the other scriptures that has come to me recently, we were in a conference where somebody unpacked the meaning of peace. And as I said, I feel God has been preparing us, he's preparing his church. And so he's talked about his love so that we can connect with him. He's talked about the fact that we're blessed so that we don't need to focus totally on our own lives, but we can stand positioned to care for others. If you go to the stuff about the armor of God, it talks right at the end about our shoes, our feet being shod with the gospel of peace. Yeah. And that word peace means protection, health, and prosperity. And so all the time, in every way, God has equipped us. And that's in the context of prayer, if you like, of prayer and warfare and all of those things. Am I connecting with you? All right. And one of the other things that he has been speaking about, and I think will increasingly do so, and I think there's all sorts of fresh revelation that's going to come in the area of prayer, but one of the things he's been reminding us of has been certain scriptures that go back into Genesis. So if you look at Genesis chapter 1, in the garden, God gave mankind, he gave Adam and Eve a mandate. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Strange word to us. Have dominion over the fruit of the sea, fish of the sea, you know, and all of those things. And then if you go to Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, the highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. And it's like God could have governed the earth himself, but he chose to restrict himself to what you and I would let him do through us. And where I'm going is God gives us a new place. If you go into Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, there is the most amazing description of the spiritual blessings that you and I walk into. You know, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, when you're talking about blessing, it's all very practical. It's which we need. It's practical about our provision, our health, our protection, all of those things. And if you read the scripture, it is so amazing that God actually has equipped us in every way. He is saying to you and to me, do not worry about those things. But if you come into Ephesians, he talks about really the power of the gospel. And he talks about the fact that we're saved. He talks about the fact we're forgiven. He talks about the fact we're redeemed. He talks about all of those things. And then at the end of it, he just says, the fact that we are lifted up and we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And early on it says Christ Jesus is seated above every principality and power. Now for some of us, that's a, you know, it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that in my spirit, God has put me above my circumstances. He's lifted me above all the negatives of my life. And that means that my mind isn't interfered with. My emotions aren't interfered with. You know, we talk. Have you ever noticed, like we did earlier, that there was that sense of quietness on the meeting? And you just said God wants to speak to us. And there's a sense of quietness. I believe that's what he means when he says we're lifted above the principalities and powers in Jesus. We're seated in that new place. It's like that place of peace where actually my worries are quietened, my mind is quietened, my emotions are quietened, and it means I can hear from him. And then if I can hear from him, I know what I'm going to pray is his will. And so I can stand in such a place of security that says, I am praying what God wants. And you get this amazing connection between heaven and earth. And I believe that God... Sorry, I seem to be in preach mode. I don't really do chat mode. Sorry. But I think God is taking us to a different place. Because so much the time we pray earth to heaven. And he's saying, I want to turn that around. Not that you can't bring your own needs to me, but I want you to connect with my heart, my desires, and I want you to pray them down to the earth. And he gives us a new seat. You know, we're seated there. And so we carry authority when we pray. And I was just thinking about that whole area of being seated and, you know, it's like having a different chair. I know that's a bit of a play on words, but we talk about the chairman of a company. We talk about my brother went through a phase where he works at university, very much wanted to have a chair, which means something in a university setup. You know, there is this role, there is something that comes with a chair when we're seated in that sense, in a position, we carry authority. A CEO, a chairman of a company, because he's sitting in that seat. Are you with me? He has an authority in that area of the company. And God has seated us in a new seat. And so you and I carry authority. So that's a little bit of a journey through some of the topics that I'm going to be looking at, really, at the prayer school. I actually enjoy prayer because I just think, well, I like being in God's presence. I think prayer should be fun, although I do think that it's a responsibility as well. I believe it can be light, and I believe there are those moments when God takes us into a special place, and it's something different. So... can I pray for people? Just pray, would that be all right? I just want to, you know, I just want every one of us to enjoy our walk with God, but also to recognize that we have the most awesome connection with a living God. And just to pray a refreshment, really, on our prayer lives. Is that all right? So let's just come into his presence, okay? Father, I just want to thank you for your presence in here now. And we want to thank you for every desire that you've put within our hearts, Lord, to know you. We want to thank you for the way that you've been positioning us, you've been teaching us. Lord, I want to lift off just any restrictions, Lord, on how we view you. Lord, just anything that has come in as a blockage. And Lord, I just want to ask you that by your Spirit, in this place, Lord God, you would just open up on the inside of each one of us a fresh hunger for you. Lord, a fresh hunger for what you want to do in us and through us, and what you want for Marlow, what you want for our nation. And Father, I just ask you by your Spirit that you would release fresh life and fresh hope, Lord God, into each one of us. Amen.
Thank you, Suzanne. Absolutely.